Well, welcome to worship. So it's good to see you here. Today we have a guest preacher. We have Pastor George Carlson. He served as a pastor in Milton, but he was also the director of Lutherdale Bible Camp. And he'll tell you Bible Camp is something you really need to go to. And he was our bishop. He was our bishop when Scott and I came to the Synod. And he'll be preaching today on his experiences working with refugees through Lutheran social services. Today we have a call to worship by Grace Notes, so we'll hear that first. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no spirits are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead to sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. I invite you to stand for the opening hymn. Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
This holy house, for all who worship and praise, let us pray.
freely live all, truth and justice and grace. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. For peace in our hearts, for peace in our homes, for friends and family. For life and for love, for our work and our play, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. For your Spirit to guide, that you center our lives in the water and the word, that you nourish our souls with your body and blood. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
first reading for this, the seventh Sunday after Epiphany, is recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, beginning with verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." We'll read responsively Psalm 37. "Do not be provoked by evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and find safe pasture. Commit your way to the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord and see what God will do. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Do not be provoked by the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord shall possess the land. But the lowly shall possess the land. They will delight in abundance of peace. You, O Lord, will help them and rescue them. You will rescue them from the wicked and deliver them, because in you they seek refuge." The second reading is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with the first verse. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love." The word of the Lord.
Amen. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. You give us your word, the living Jesus. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to welcome and our lives to live your word for others. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus the Reconciler. Amen. I know something about every one of you. Each of us has an ancestor or ancestors who came to the USA from another country. Is anyone here 100% Native American? Does anyone here have some Native American blood that you're aware of? I thought this might be the case. We're pretty much, we've got at least one back here waving a hand. We all have ancestors from another country. I had my DNA test done. My son gave me the kit. I think he wanted to know who he was. And I found out that I have ancestors from at least 7 different countries. But as far as I know, none of them came here as refugees. We heard about Joseph in the first reading. We could call him an immigrant, but he was not a refugee. He actually went to Egypt as a slave, sold by his brothers to get him out of the family, get rid of him. And merchants on their way to Egypt on a business trip bought Joseph. And then when they got to Egypt, they sold him as a slave to a captain of the guard. And we could say that Joseph was a forced immigrant, not by choice, like many Africans who came to this country, forced immigrants. Now we also met the brothers of Joseph in that story. We can't really call them refugees either, because they came not to find a new place to live, fleeing from their homeland, but to buy grain because of the drought back home, to buy grain so that they could survive the famine back in their home country. And they had come twice before that. We would hear about them earlier in Genesis if we'd read that. But they never recognized their brother. Who would have ever thought that this younger brother, sold as a slave, would become the second most powerful person in the land of Egypt. No way! But that happened. And now, rather than punish his brothers, Joseph identifies himself and declares to them, God sent me before you to preserve life. Joseph forgives them, does not hold their actions against them, and he then invites them to go back home and return to Egypt with their father and the rest of the family. They all became immigrants thanks to Joseph's hospitality. In our world today, many people face displacement, just as Joseph and his family had. An article by the Migration Policy Institute in October 27 focused on South Sudan. There is not a root single cause that explains all displacements and famines. Each context is unique. The factors in South Sudan include violent conflict, political and economic insecurity, chronic poverty, lack of trade, and severe climate conditions such as persistent drought make for a particularly lethal combination. And many people in South Sudan have left their homelands due to similar reasons. So it shows on this that there are 68.5 million people who are displaced in our world today. And millions of South Sudanese do not have access to food and cannot grow crops. More than 1.1 million children suffer from malnutrition, including 290,000 in need of urgent care. And beyond South Sudan, the drought has brought increasingly severe food shortages in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia, which are in the northeast part of Africa particularly. So you see there that Africa, Asia, and Latin America suffer the most from these conditions. And some examples, according to the website for the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, includes Ethiopia, which you can see there, tucked by Sudan. An estimated 8 million of Ethiopia's 60 million people are in immediate risk due to drought. And UNICEF estimates that 1.4 million of those at risk are children under age 5. And then consider Eritrea, where successive years of drought combined with border war with Ethiopia has created major food shortages. Nearly 1.3 million people are at risk, including an estimated 1 million who have been displaced by the war. And then there's Somalia. Due to 7 consecutive poor harvests, combined with chronic insecurity in some regions, food stability is deteriorating, affecting as many as 1 million people, including 300,000 children under age 5. And that drought has been made worse by sudden torrential rains and flash floods. Now, my personal experience with refugees includes 2 families in particular. This picture wasn't when Young and Seem Ao came to this country in 1980. This was taken in 2018, just last year. Young and Seem fled from Vietnam a couple of years before 1980 in a boat that was totally overcrowded because they could no longer stand living in the tyranny of Vietnam. They wanted freedom. But as they approached Cambodia, they were warned by others that they better not go into Cambodia with their boat because they'd be sent back out to sea. So as they approached Cambodia, they deliberately sank their boat and swam to shore so they couldn't be sent back. And our congregation in Milton, Wisconsin, Hope Lutheran, along with other churches in Milton, welcomed them with a furnished apartment and food in their pantry. And they secured jobs, bought a home, and raised two children who have both graduated from UW-Madison. Lynn, which you can see on the left, with her two kids and husband, graduated with and got her doctorate in clinical psychology at UW, and she now works in the Sun Prairie School District. And then Andrew, who was married last August, that's or in 2017 in this picture, and now he's a new dad. He was a chemical engineer grad, worked for about 5 years in that industry, said, I want to work with people. Went back to Chicago, got his master's, and now teaches in a Southside high school in Chicago. And mom and dad, Young and Seam, are both retired and still living in Milton. Now, the refugee situation today has about 25 million refugees around the world out of the 65 million displaced people. And over 10 million of those 25 million have no nation to call home. And that was the case of the second family that we've come to know personally. A family of six was greeted by us at the Dane County Regional Airport. The parents with four adult children, the youngest at that time was 17, they came from Nepal. They had fled from Bhutan. They lived in that refugee camp in Nepal for 17 years. And they fled from Bhutan because the government there changed their policy on recognition of citizens. Those whose ancestors went to Bhutan from Nepal about a century earlier because Bhutan needed workers and were inviting them to come, these people now became victims of a new discrimination. They were no longer recognized as full citizens. And not wanting that oppressive and discriminatory living, they went back, they fled back to Nepal due to violence that was increasing among them. And that violence was both either done or condoned by their government. And that family, we helped resettle in, they lived in these kind of conditions there in Nepal. But now those four, those two, have expanded to this family. At the time of this picture, the youngest one was not married, but all of the other children had married. Some children, grandchildren were being born into that family. One now has moved to Chicago with her husband, who is also a refugee from Nepal. One has moved to Akron, Ohio to live closer to her husband's family and sister and brother. And the parents have followed them to Akron. Two still live in Madison. And all have productive jobs. Two have become certified nursing assistants and are now pursuing degrees to become registered nurses. And all except the elderly father have become citizens of the United States. And I want to tell you about Amit, the one on your left. He was about age 25 when he came here. He had been born in Bhutan, but like the rest of his family, was told that he wasn't welcome. So he fled with his family at about age 8 to go to Nepal. And there he lived for 17 years, as I mentioned. But he was told there that he didn't belong to Nepal, that Nepal didn't want him. He came to this country in 2010. He studied to become a certified nursing assistant and became a citizen of this country in 2015. You have to be here 5 years to become eligible to apply for citizenship. He did it as soon as he could. And we went with him to the naturalization ceremony in Milwaukee. And at the end of that naturalization, as we are coming home, he said, I was born in Bhutan, but they didn't want me. I lived in Nepal for 17 years, and they didn't want me. I came here, and in 5 years, I became a citizen. The United States of America wanted me. Now I have a home. Now I have a country. Joseph, too, went from one unwanted, rejected by his own brothers. Purchased as a slave, he became an important leader in Egypt. And Joseph, a slave, a stranger, became a vital part of his new nation. He had a new home. He belonged. To me, Joseph embodies the words we heard from Jesus today. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Joseph's brothers had hated him and abused him, yet he did good to them. He forgave them. He blessed those who had cursed him. We in this country live in a time with lots of divisions, lots of tension, lots of labeling of people who differ from us. And some of us, like the brothers of Joseph, would like to get rid of those with whom we differ, would like not to deal with those whom we call enemies, would like no reminder of those who hunger or have no home, or live as refugees. Some of us might not want to hear what Jesus said today. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Love your enemies. Do good. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge. Forgive. Give. Jesus says, not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. All life, all people are interconnected. Human community depends on us caring for and about one another. That is what has driven the work of refugee resettlement for Lutherans since the mid-1940s. And much work remains to be done. Jesus tells us what we need to hear. And I offer this paraphrase of Jesus for 2019. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who are already citizens of the USA, what credit is that to you? Love immigrants. Love refugees. Do good to the rejected and neglected and excluded and unwelcome. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Live generously in caring for others. For all are your sisters and brothers. Amen.
I invite you to stand for the hymn.